The Final Play Podcast welcomes you to the following presentation of the NFL. Some kind of interesting results this round, this week 14. I think the playoffs are only just around the corner, and I think some teams are getting nervous.
Well, yeah, I was going to say straight off the bat at week 14, I thought, okay, teams you would think are starting to assert themselves if they're going to win the division or at least push for the playoffs. And coming out of this week, it's still completely wide open.
Exactly. So it's something insane, like more than half the league.
Oh my god.
Is either 6-7 or 7-6.
And it's going to get way more interesting when now these we'll talk about it later, but these COVID cases come into play. That's going to just affect a lot of games, because the NFL won't stop. We all know that. They're not going to stop, especially this close. Right.
We've seen it at its peak last year, where it was like this, and the NFL just simply, the juggernaut will not stop. They might postpone games, and you know, we might get ourselves maybe an extra game on a Monday or an extra game on a Tuesday or something like that, you know, if they can be creative with the schedule. But the semi-trailer rolls on.
All it's going to affect is everybody's fantasy nerves. So anyway, there's
playoff implications with fantasy as well. It just depends on whether you're on a bye week or which. Yeah.
Anyway, we'll go through the list of week 14 results. Firstly, the Friday game was the Vikings just doing exactly what the Vikings decide to do when they need to and beat a team that probably needed to win more than they did. That was the Steelers, 36-28.
Very spirited Pittsburgh comeback.
The Browns, again, doing... Well, I didn't expect them to win, but they did win against the AFC North rivals, the Ravens, 24-22.
They nearly pooped the bed on that.
The Titans beat the Jags 22-0. And that is the Titans' first shutout since 2000. I thought I'd just throw that tidbit in because it was a little stat I seen. So,
yeah, I did see that. Yeah, their first time shutout in 20 years.
Yeah, I wonder why the Jags got shut out, but we'll talk about that one later too. the Chiefs, oh man, the Chiefs are rolling 48-9 over the Raiders.
This is why we never questioned them.
I never questioned them because I had them in a massive multi, and two, because you can't question their talent they have. So
right. Once they begin to click, then it is big trouble.
Scary for everybody else. The Saints beat the Jets 30-9. The Cowboys beat Washington football team 27-20. We'll talk about that one
later.
Dallas
did their best to try and throw that game away as well.
Ugly win. That's all I can
say. Ugly fourth quarter. They were beautiful
in the
first three quarters.
It's not what you want coming into close to.
Absolutely. You do not want fourth quarter collapses.
The Falcons beat the Falcons just... another team. They're like the Vikings. You just don't know when to back them.
I don't know what they are. I honestly don't.
They are still a wild card contender, which I do not get.
Absolutely they are.
But they beat the Panthers 29-21. The Seahawks the Seahawks still keeping their slim hopes alive, beating the Texans.
They're not making the playoffs. I'm sorry, they're not making the playoffs.
Well, might be tough for their next game. I think they're not making the playoffs. The Broncos beat the Lions 38-10. The Chargers beat the Giants 37-21. The Niners beat the Bengals in a divisional game. Another team that's shocking a few people, I think, but they're starting to roll. The 49ers 26-23. The Bucks, another divisional game, beat the Bills 33-27 in overtime. The Packers beat the Bears 45-30, and the Rams in another divisional game, a few actually, sorry, in Tuesday beat the Cards 30-23.
Kickoff on a Friday like that. First half by Pittsburgh was absolutely disgusting.
Just
disgusted both sides of the ball, offensively, defensively. That's what they're resting their morals on at the moment. Yeah, they lost T.J. Watt in the second quarter to a groin injury, and they were horrible.
There's no other way of putting it. They were absolutely horrible in that first.
Was it just me as well, or was the center for Pittsburgh, Kendrick Green, just snapping the ball to Ben? It was as if he thought that Big Ben was 7 foot tall. Like, I know Roethlisberger is tall, but he's snapping it to him as if he's Bol Bol, not Ben Roethlisberger. Like, not every single time, but...
That's what it felt like.
He's catching the ball around his eyes, catching the ball around his head off the snap. What is that?
It's a fair comparison.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah, look, I don't know. I kind of thought this game after he hasn't come out, but he half come out and said he thinks this is going to be his final season. I thought that would spur him on.
This is going to be his last season.
I thought it would spur him on, and it did the complete opposite. Really, it didn't do anything for him. They got cooked, literally cooked, and I'll use that word, pun intended, cooked in the first half by Dalvin Cook. And the other thing was Eric Kendricks. That was the person that stood out for me on the defensive side. This is his. He's beat in and out of games when he's there. That they are good. The Vikings. Eric Kendricks. He's brilliant. You know, tackles, sacks. I'm not tooting this guy's horn because he's only a rookie. But Micah Parsons. He seems to be everywhere. But Eric.
You should be tooting his horn because he has got Defensive Rookie of the Year wrapped up.
Oh, I know. But what I'm. Yeah. I get that.
Man, he is a sneaky chance for actually being Defensive Player of the Year.
I think he is a sneaky chance. I was trying to go through that the other day when we get to their game, because that's the reason they won this game as well. But what do you look? They did what they had to with the Vikings. They're weird. They sort of sit. They're clearly not going to win the NFC North. We know this, but are they still a sneaky chance of getting the wild card?
At 6-7, they are. They've got a fairly weak division, you know, obviously other than the Packers, and these next few weeks they'll have a few divisional games. So, with the Lions and the Bears, so they absolutely cannot drop any of those games. They need to keep going the way they are. Like, Kirk Cousins was pretty ordinary. Like you said, you know, everything rested on this game defensively and on Dalvin Cook. The third quarter for them, I thought, was a little bit scary. They only had 28 yards of total offense in the third quarter. Pittsburgh did really well to keep the ball away from them and really got charging back in the game, forcing turnovers. Between the third and fourth quarter, a five-minute period, Pittsburgh scored 3 touchdowns. Like, to just come absolutely roaring back into the game. And, look, they missed a 2-point conversion in amongst those, which really hurt them on this comeback. Then the Osborne touchdown happened, sort of pushed the Vikings out a little bit further away, just to a 2-touchdown lead. And it turned into a bridge too far. Like, their final drive, Pittsburgh's final drive, I guess a lot sort of been made of it. Yeah, they'd had no timeouts left. They were moving the ball really well up and down the field, 30-odd seconds to go. And Chase Claypool, instead of just hurrying up and running back to the line of scrimmage and getting the ball back to Big Ben so they can spike the ball and stop the clock, decides to have himself a little first down celebration. And it's like, what the F are you doing? What are you doing?
Yeah.
And one of the offensive lines come up to him and slap the ball out of his hands and basically said, get your ass back over there. We need to stop this. We need to spike this ball to stop the clock. Stop being selfish.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have been very critical about that.
Well, I don't know. Were you critical about it?
Absolutely. What? That's an idiotic move.
I agree. I don't know. I'm just saying. Of course, they should be critical about it. I just didn't make sense at all. 36
seconds to go. You still. I think they were on about the 35-yard line. So they're not there yet. You're looking for a touchdown and a 2-point conversion. You're not looking for a field goal. Get the F over yourself.
It's hard to work out because I couldn't really tell from the vision that I could see, but he claimed that the ball was hit out of his sort of hands anyway, but he kind of...
That doesn't matter. Don't do a stupid... Do you know what I mean? Well, like first down celebration when there's 30 seconds to go.
But it wasn't really a celebration. I couldn't really tell because it didn't seem like a celebration. Anyway,
I mean, it absolutely was.
He absolutely was. I can't fault anything because he just has those tendencies. That's just him. So as good as a second year was, a second year rookie, but as good as a player is, he has those tendencies. But
that's right. He was feeling himself too much. He was getting a little bit too involved about what he's doing because he had an amazing game. He had 8 catches. He had an amazing game. And it's like, yes, that is a big crucial catch in this game to get yourselves, you know, well into the offensive zone and you know, only a couple of completions away from a red zone, but you just got to be game. It's game awareness.
Yeah, that's exactly
DK Metcalf done it earlier in the season by not going out of bounds and trying to gain an extra few yards. Just take the out of bounds. And he was hammered by the media for being a selfish player.
I mean, yeah. I know, you're right. They don't seem to think, I mean, it's like any football players. I could name a thousand rugby league players that do the same thing with these...
No, that's right.
2 minutes ago and these fifth tackle plays and they don't think about what they're supposed to do because they don't.
White line fever.
The Vikings run home. Oh, yeah, it's a bit shaky. So they've got the Bears twice. So realistically, that should be okay. But
They cannot drop both of those games.
Well, but then they've got Rams Rams at home and then Packers away. So could be a hard one for them. Could be, but we'll see what happens.
If they miss out on the playoffs by one game, obviously the game that they will be rueing that they lost is the game against the Lions.
Well, that's right. That's exactly right. And the Steelers could technically, they're still in with the sniff, but they, I doubt it. I mean, that division, who knows what that division is
doing. That division is still rough.
Cleveland could theoretically still win this division. Cleveland could, but I don't.
They could, but, you know, by the sounds of it, they're down 2 quarterbacks at the moment. So,
bring on Case Keenum. Bring on Case Keenum if he's healthy. I don't know what's going on.
Case Keenum, I've read that Case Keenum is out at the moment too.
Well, that's the next game we're talking.
That's a Saturday game, like a Sunday game for us too. So, I think the Browns and the Raiders?
Yeah. The Browns beat the Ravens, who Lamar went down in this game. So Tyler Huntley had to finish most of this game, who isn't too bad. I don't mind him. He looks like he's 40 years old every time he takes that helmet off. I swear to God, he's 20, but he looks 40. He's got the oldest head on him I've ever seen in my life. He just does.
And that's the thing. They don't really go away from the game plan too much because he is a fairly good runner out of the pocket and they can draw up some design runs for him. So they don't really have to go away from the offensive plan a whole lot. They probably could have rested a little bit more on Devontae Freeman, I think, in this game to take a little bit of pressure off Huntley. But he's got pretty good guys to throw to. But he's
pretty good. See, but that's the thing in the pocket compared to Lamar, which everyone, I mean, I'm not going to lie, I love seeing Lamar too because you don't know what the guy's going to do when he's got the ball. But at least for Tyler Huntley, he has a decent arm and he can get it to Andrews and Rashad Bateman. And that's why they got over 100 yards. So he has that. Like, we don't even know if Lamar's playing this week, do we? Or is that confirmed?
No, I think it's trending towards that he may be okay because there was reports out there that it's not a high ankle sprain, which probably would have ruled him out. But I think it's trending that he will be okay this week, but you know, that's only, I guess, sort of initial.
He's still questionable, but that doesn't mean, yeah.
You're right, that's, I mean. Yeah, that doesn't mean much. Like, that's just a bit of, you know, a bit of smoke and mirrors to.
Wow. I hate, again, for fantasy, for that, I hate seeing questionable because you just don't know until.
A lot of times, it questionable still means they'll play.
The Browns won this on the back of. I'm not going to keep bringing up what I think of Baker. I've already said that, but they won on the back of their awesome defense.
Oh, and that's a Herculean effort by their defense. Oh,
exactly. That's why they won.
No more important play in this game than the forced fumble by Myles Garrett to take back for a touchdown.
Oh, did you see when he just, I don't know if you watched any of this game, but did you see some of the
bits and pieces on red zone?
Hey.
Bits and pieces on red zone.
Oh, just when you see him running at Tyler Huntley, just it's like an eclipse coming over. He's that massive at Tyler Huntley. It's ridiculous. I love it. I'm not gonna lie. It's just every time I think of it, I always just because it looks like so massive. He's just going. He's just oh my god. He's one big boy. Again, this. Division, and we'll keep talking about this because obviously we're getting closer and closer. It's a flip coin for me who wins this division, literally.
Yeah, absolutely.
It has to be a flip coin because we don't know what's happening with, so to speak, I guess, with, well, it's not even that Lamar, I mean, forget even if Lamar's there, they're still a bit shaky, the Baltimore Ravens. Cleveland's Cleveland.
Well, there was talk that they were, you know, even only a couple of weeks ago, were the best team in the AFC. And, yeah, they're super inconsistent at the moment,
and they're technically the team that, I mean, I'm only keep saying Cleveland because it's in my multi, but realistically,
don't let that cloud your judgment.
No, of course it will. Realistically, out of all of them, if I had to pick a team that I like to win the division, it'd have to be the Bengals, wouldn't it? Have to be.
I mean, I would have said. I would have said Cincinnati if they got the job done against the Niners in this weekend, but they couldn't get the job done.
Next game was the Titans just shutting out the Jags, 20-0. Look, it wasn't
casualties from this game.
It wasn't an overly pretty game, really, at the end of the day, except for the four interceptions and three sacks that happened to Trevor Lawrence.
But even Tannehill got hammered as well.
We got so much to talk about Urban Meyer. I mean, there's not much to talk about this game because there's more to talk about Urban Meyer and all the stuff that keeps coming out. That's just
the ridiculous thing about this is they missed out in their first round. Etienne, who went down in the preseason. You know, James Robinson proved last year that he can be an extremely effective running back. This game, 6 carries, 4 yards. Like, that is...
Yeah, it's unbelievable. But I've got a thing about James Robinson later, so I could sort of see possibly why he... Yeah, there's so many...
Oh, the problem is for Jacksonville, and it's with a lot of teams, but the big problem is up front.
Oh, of course,
what do you think Trevor Lawrence is scrambling for his life and being murdered just about every game and throwing also, 4 interceptions?
James Robinson is possibly Urban Meyer issues too, so there's a whole thing with that. But
well, I've also heard that former kicker Lambeau there at Jacksonville had himself, and I use the kicker term as a absolutely intended for a pun. Had some Urban Meyer issues as well.
Oh my god, okay. That's what I mean. This game
when
was,
I see that report, that was great.
This game was I'm talking about the Jags here, I'm talking about the Titans. I think they have this division locked up, but I'm telling you now,
I'm telling you now, the Colts are coming.
Well, that's what I was getting at. Even if they have locked it up, I think the Colts would be the scariest team in that AFC wild card. I don't think people want to face
the Colts. The Colts at the moment are playing better football, and nothing cures the ails of coming off the bye and having a bit of a, what do they have, two game skid. The Titans then playing the Jags, you know, in that horrible division. So,
There's so many things I like about the, they were on the bye this week. There's so many things I like about the Colts over the Titans. So many things, and I'm not just talking Jonathan Taylor. I mean, their offense
over the current incarnation of the Colts, of the Titans. Like when they've got. When they've got a bit better healthy receivers, and obviously the fact that Derrick Henry may be back around that playoff time, I hope they don't bring him back not so much too soon, but rely on him a little bit too much, especially when it comes to, because they will be absolutely trying to get that first round bye on the AFC side. So they can give Derrick Henry that extra week's rest, which he will need.
Oh, 100%. But, like, you know, a team that is rolling in that AFC is the Chiefs, smashing the Raiders. That just was, I mean, my God, that was a smash fest.
Yeah, smash fest. Kansas City actually getting an offense a win there, sort of using their run game a little bit more than trying to win it with the pass game. Mahomes is only 20 or 24. So, and again, it comes down to the simple mathematics that I put it out to you last week. When Derek Carr doesn't throw for 300 yards, they don't win. it's extremely simple mathematics.
I can't. You're right. I can't believe you said that, but you're exactly right. You did say that. You specifically said that, and this rang true. It did. Mahomes was extremely accurate with this. At least he.
I mean. I'm all about stolen analytics.
No, well, that's right. At least he didn't throw a interception this time, which he has been critical of this year. This was more a lot of things. Like he did what he had to do. He shared the ball around. I noticed a lot more in this.
That's right. He shared the ball around. Shared the targets around. Like, you know, even though he only threw the ball 24 times, but it's starting to sort of not so much be ingrained into him, but he's starting to realize that, you know, he doesn't need to go for the massive big hero plays all the time, even though, you know, they do sort of have those. Explosive plays in them, but he doesn't need to go for them all the time. Take what the defense gives you, and you will bear the fruits from it. Having a good rush attack in this game was helpful. Like, you know, they spread the ball about. You know, Derek Gore and Edwards-Helaire, in the run game. So, you know, Darrell Williams is sort of really hit and miss at the moment in their run attack. He'll get a lot of work, and then other games he won't. So, a little bit of running back by committee there at the moment, but they just absolutely just steamrolled. The first play of the game, Josh Jacobs fumbles the ball and it leads to a touchdown for Kansas City, and it just got the pain just kept coming after that.
Well, and they're pretty decimated on the injury side as well. They've sort of caught up. I mean. They're starting, you know what I mean? Really, they're really their only wide receiver at the moment is probably Hunter Renfro. Really, at the end of the day.
No, that's right. Well, he's essentially assumed the role of Henry Ruggs as that deep threat.
Even Darren Waller is being not there.
Waller's out, and it looks like Waller's out again this week. Yeah, so they're sort of deprived of offensive weapons there. In that regard. The other thing that was too, like, you know, obviously turnovers were a problem for the Raiders, but penalty yards too. They had over 60 yards of penalty, you know, penalty markers in the first half. They were just getting brutalized.
Yeah, they were. As Aaron Moore was, as they have been with all the crap that they've gone through, I think it's time to, I don't know, shut up. I realistically don't think they can make it. to be completely honest, like, this is me, but like, if you know where you're at the moment, do you give Mariota a chance? They still think they can actually make the wild card. Well, I think they do.
And I don't think at 6-7, you don't shut up shop yet.
Well, probably not because of the
after
way
that, a couple more after a couple more, if you go to 6-9, then you'll be maybe shut down Derek Carr. I don't think that's sort of in his DNA, but like you said, I think Mariota would, you know, revel in the chance to sort of get himself some starting snaps and audition for a starting job for next year somewhere else.
Go ahead. Your boy is the Saints, been in the Jets.
I think they sort of stat padded a little bit in that fourth quarter. I think, yeah, that they, I think they were showing off a little bit in the fourth quarter. Once again, piling on 17 points in the fourth quarter.
Taysom Hill did what he had. What I did like about this game, and this wasn't purely fantasy, but this was probably a glimpse, but he used Kamara very well in this game, which he had
been last year. And that's been an extreme criticism of Taysom Hill and the Alvin Kamara pairing, like, you know, especially last year when they have sort of used Taysom Hill more as a starting quarterback a couple of times, and Kamara's numbers were extremely down. This was, I guess, it was sort of a welcome back party for him. You don't generally see him used in this sort of capacity where he has 27 rushes. That's not really his sort of forte. But they were looking to do was get the job done, get the win. Come out of New York with a W, and look, you know, Zach Wilson was extremely inaccurate, fleeing for his life again, even without Cam Jordan. Even without Cam Jordan there for the Saints, you know, they still have enough up front defensively to disrupt.
Oh, yeah.
A rookie quarterback, even on his home patch. But, well, you know, Davis was massive. Marshawn Lattimore.
But what about Quan Alexander?
Number one receiver a lot of the time.
I haven't heard him much. What's his guy? Quan Alexander. Quan Alexander, they've got the two sacks.
I like what he does. You know, he had two sacks in this game. It was that mid-season pickup from last year.
Okay.
I think he sort of gets overshadowed a little bit, you know, by somebody like a Malcolm Jenkins or Demario Davis. You know, those sorts of guys. In that Saints sort of middle linebacker, defensive line there. So I think it's a little bit of being overshadowed because Demario Davis does so much for them defensively that he sort of doesn't really get his name in lights. But he, you know, it's the old cliche. He does, you know, he does the things that don't show up on the stat sheet.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And I like what he does even at the 49ers. Before he was picked up by the Saints last year, like he's a solid linebacker.
He's a Tampa Bay pickup. Yeah, okay, I can see that. I'm looking at it now. Yeah, god damn, look at that neck. My god, these guys. He's got the biggest neck I've ever seen.
Thick.
Yeah, well, it's definitely thick. Dallas beating Washington. I kept because mate here is a Dallas fan as well, and he kept texting me and saying, we're going to win this, we're going to win this. And I said, yeah, but we're going to win this as an ugly, I'm putting it down as an ugly W because that's what it was. It just felt, it's not what we need. We need these last 3 weeks, if we need to prove that we're a divisional leader, we you need these decent wins. And a win's a win, but god damn, not against a 6-7 team like that. Like, you're not doing what the Chiefs are doing or the Pats are doing, if you know what I mean.
No, that's right. And if you're not in that sort of form, then like you said, you need to just come. You just need to come out of Washington with the win.
Which is what happened.
For the first three quarters, Dallas's front four were just absolutely annihilating Washington's O line, annihilating them. Taylor Heineke He was 2 of 12 in the first half for 19 yards. He was being obliterated.
Micah Parsons.
He was being obliterated.
He had two quarterback hits, two sacks. It's just, yeah, he ended up getting hurt.
They had to bring Kyle Allen in. Like, it was just, it was a total disaster for, until the fourth quarter.
I was waiting for you to use the words, literally use the word shit show, because apparently during this game and even before this game, as terrible as the Washington stadium is, there's sewage running into it, into the stands now, apparently.
You know, the other scary thing is too, apparently Heineke found a pair of scissors on the field. What the hell is going on out there?
I seen that got mentioned as well.
A couple of weeks ago, we talked about a fork being found at Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas. Now we've got a pair of scissors. This is an extremely dangerous game. Like, the last thing you want to do is being tackled, especially if you're someone like Antonio Gibson or Ezekiel Elliott, where you've got five and six people piling on top of you, is getting up and have a pair of scissors sticking out of your pads.
Anybody.
That's insane.
Landing on it and it's in your side, in your eye, in your head, anything. Exactly. Like that.
I'm sort of coming at it as a funny part, you know, it's sticking out of your pads, but absolutely, it could be sticking out of your flesh.
No, it was a little bit funny the first time hearing what we said last week, but then to hear scissors on the, you know what I mean? What the hell is going on?
All I can think of is that one of the trainers has gone out there and is cutting tape. Cutting tape off somebody, and it's, you know, he puts it back in his little medical holster, and they've dropped out or something like that because they're trying to do it so quick. Do you know what I mean? Possibly. So that's the only thing I would think of, because that's unbelievable to hear.
You mentioned Michael Parsons, or we both mentioned Michael Parsons before, in terms of Defensive Player of the Year. Not just Defensive Rookie, but Defensive Player of the Year.
Absolutely.
I've been trying to think. I was going through it. I can't think of anybody that stood out.
As Defensive Player of the Year?
Yeah.
I think there's a few, like, you know, obviously, you know, your boy Trevon Diggs is going to be up there.
That's another one.
I think TJ Watt is going to be up there as well. Miles Garrett will be there. Yeah, Aaron Donald has been pretty ordinary probably the last month or five weeks, but he sort of re-announced himself back, you know, this week against the Cardinals. Like, you can't sort of count him out.
I think Miles Garrett and TJ Watt, and I'm just going off old heads, I think they have to be. I just can't. I mean, it'd be awesome. I just can't see him getting actual Defensive Player of the Year as a rookie. He'll be nominated, I think. I just can't see.
He should get himself a cheeky mention. But with the likes of Garrett and TJ Watt.
I think Garrett will be
head and shoulders above.
I put it on Garrett because he hasn't been injured like TJ Watt's been injured.
That's right.
That still technically counts.
TJ Watt's still coming for that sack record, but he's been hurt a little bit this year, and yeah, I think that'll only hurt him sort of statistically. I think there will still be a lot of consideration for him to still be Defensive Player of the Year.
Which is he'd have to be. I think it's those three. I think it's Garrett, Watt, and Parsons. I think that'll be your top three.
I still don't discount Trevon Diggs.
No, it's possible. I just think, and don't even discount if you're technically, you know, why can't, because the way they're playing, why can't you throw Matt Judon in there? Why not?
Exactly. And he's putting up numbers, not so much putting up numbers. He's doing things that don't show up on the stat sheet, and he is as a menacing defensive player as there is out there.
It's funny that if it ends up being Garrett, it's not ha ha funny, but the stuff that he went through last year, with Mason Rudolph really taking his off with his helmet, like, and then...
No, well, that's right, and you know, he served his suspension and everything, so...
He did his time, but it'd just be, like, you know, the way the NFL is, it'd just be interesting that he'll get, possibly, I think he will, but... Because then, that, again, that's... It's possibly just like to me, only those two stand out. TJ Watt for Pittsburgh and Garrett for Browns, because... Those two defenses are literally the only reason those two teams are still in the hunt, I think. I don't think there's any other reason, really.
No, that's right.
At least with the Cowboys, you sort of got your Dax and your Amaris and your CDs of the world. Well, the other ones have those players, but they haven't.
And that, well, that's right, and that's keeping them in the game.
I mean, it is the Carolina Panthers, but still, the Falcons winning. They're sort of pretty hot. I don't get it. Sort of hot.
Look, against the Carolina Panthers that I believed in at the start of the year with Sam Darnold, and now they've just gone to absolute, you know, dog shit. Everybody said, oh, Newton's been benched, and then he's come back on, and then PJ Walker finishes off the game, and then he doesn't look very good either. I think it's very fair to say that the extremely short Cam Newton, you know, homecoming and welcome back to Carolina is well and truly over. They're done as far as the playoffs are concerned. What do they do?
That's going forward. What do they do? Because they took the shot at Sam Darnold. They didn't have to give up a first, so they'll have that next year. So
They fire their offensive coordinator. That they think that, yeah, Joe Brady, they think that was part of the problem, and then they look terrible in this game too.
Yeah, well, the biggest you're right. I don't know. I think, like, well, Cam's only signed till the end of the year, so you don't think keeping him around. I don't know what they do with Sam Darnold. I don't know.
They are in full limbo.
It's not the only thing they need. That's the thing. Like, their defense is pretty good. I mean, I've always liked their defense. Their defense is fairly good. It could be better, but it's their weapons. You know, if McCaffrey is still going to keep injured, you can't. I don't know.
He's unreliable.
Well, he is in the last 2 years. We all keep drafting him really high in these redraft leagues, but the last 2 years
it's all about
it's
potential.
It's been a bust.
He's unreliable as hell.
But then, what do you do? Do you ship down Sam Darnold off and start again?
Who the hell's going to want him at the moment?
But then, what's the point of keeping him? If I don't know. Like, he's injured, so it's not.
I'll defend him to the hilt. Give him. You've seen what he can do with the start of the year.
Yeah, but he didn't do. But come on, he did okay, but he didn't do like.
That's all you need out of him is okay. Look at the other garbage they trot out there at the moment. It's rubbish.
You're right. It didn't have.
It's rubbish. With
it. I think they probably just need a Well, they need. You know who they really need? If McCaffrey is, they need someone like what happens with the Vikings. They need someone like Alexander Mattison or someone like that. Something massively reliable like that. That's what they need.
Well, Chuba Hubbard has been. He's not dynamic, but he needs help. Help.
Yeah. No, you're right. I mean, any other aspect of this game, but sort of the Falcons, technically, like, I think we both think this. I don't think Matt Ryan's going to stay there next year anyway, possibly,
well,
at the Falcons.
That article that I sent you from ESPN, I think that's definitely worth talking about.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. But there's if he doesn't stay there, they're skimming. They're kind of, but then it depends if Atlanta still have another year in his contract. Depends if they want to let him go, and he probably won't because he still keeps. You know, he's called Matty Ice for a reason. He keeps them. He's kept them in these games. He's kept them in the hunt. They're in the hunt.
That's right.
Definitely in the hunt. And victim of circumstance, like they let Julio Jones, or they traded Julio Jones, so they've got that sort of that draft capital. But Calvin Ridley's been out for personal reasons, so it's kind of you know, next man up kind of thing. But the, I mean, they're winning, but goddamn, like, I thought Mike Davis, who came from Carolina, would be their at least a half their answer there, and he's been absolutely nothing there.
Oh, he's been terrible. He's been overtaken by Cordarrelle Patterson. That's how bad he's been.
Not even close. I think he really is. But they're still in with a sniff. The next game, you said you're saying Seahawks are just, even though they keep winning, they're out. You just don't think they, I suppose, it's 5-8. You're right. LA and San Francisco. Yeah, you're probably right.
They would have to go on a monumental run and a huge reversal in form. Look, they had trouble putting away the Texans. Like, don't let this result, you know, sort of buoy your spirits by anything. Like,
well, you're right, because it screwed me.
They couldn't put the Texans away until the fourth quarter.
I did text you and say to you, and you were right. You said, I said I put Davis Mills at under 220 yards. And he said, no, I don't think so. I think he's going to get over 220, and he did. So
Davis Mills started this game 14 of 14 for 150 yards.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. No, he was good.
Before his first incompletion. Now, obviously, that means he had a bit of a dump after that. Like, you know, in 33 of 49, like, they lost. And the thing is, they lost Burkhead in this game. He was hurt. Royce Freeman has just been, he's been a total bust since he's come into the league. They had nobody else. They'd lost David Johnson to COVID. Like, they had no choice but to just continually throw the ball. There was no run threat at all there at Houston, and it made them extremely predictable. And even then, Seattle still had trouble putting them away.
See, Davis Mills isn't, like, that's not a bad rookie pick. He only got sacked twice. He didn't throw any interceptions. He was pretty good at this game, really.
He's got, it's, like, he should be able to see right over the offensive line. He's got one of the longest necks I've ever seen in a player ever.
He's extremely plausible, because they need a lot of other stuff, but it's extremely plausible that they start here. They keep him. They get rid of.
Let's not get too crazy here. They need a hell of a lot more than what they got going for them at the moment.
Rashad Penny.
Problem is, they don't have any picks to sort of do anything either. They've got huge
free agent draft capital. They need to work out what they
want to sort of rebuild through the draft, then they need teams to throw multiple picks back at them if they want to try and offload Deshaun Watson.
And they've got a bit of a free agent kitty too. I read as well. So they've got to go there. They have to pay overs. It's simple.
If they've got salary cap, that's great. But if they're going to finish, they're 2-11 at the moment. Yeah. Like, it's hard to see where they're going to get another win. They're going to have a high draft pick in a draft where they're probably going to look, you know, defensively, but I don't see an instant improvement.
No.
Aren't going to be beating down the door to go play for the Texans.
Rashad Penny had a bit of a day in this game. Instead of Tyler Lockett, actually. Tyler Lockett got 142 yards. I think he was over 100 in the first half, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he has that in his game. He could just blitz you massively in that first half.
He should have, against that Texans secondary.
He should have, but so should Metcalf, and that's something going on there.
He has been super frustrating the last month.
Oh, 100%. That nice little dart by Penny to get that 47-yard run.
That was really nice.
You're right.
He's been a secondary behind Chris Carson there for a while. Now he's healthy. He sort of has a little bit of time to shine at the moment.
I don't know why, but I just think I don't know if it's feel sorry or I just like too much. There's just something about Russell Wilson that I like him. That's what I mean. Like, he's a,
oh, absolutely. He's a good, but this, player, yeah, this,
but he's not. He never does anything wrong, and I guess I kind of feel sorry. Like, that's why I always think they're in it, but, you know,
No, that's right. Well, you know, there's rumours out there floating around out there that there's a few teams in the Russell Wilson sweepstakes, but you know, there's certain teams that just, well, that's the thing, they're going to have to trade for him. That's the problem. It's not that he's coming off contract; they're going to have to trade for him.
The Broncos beating the Lions 38-10. I think this was, you know, fairly straightforward.
Well,
I guess. This was a whole build up, obviously, for Demaryius Thomas. Obviously,
that's right. This was done for number 88.
And it was good at the start.
Did they not do the first snap with only 10 players on the field?
Yeah. So the first snap was 10 players off the field. Cortland Sutton was off the field. They let the time run out, so it was a delay of game. And Detroit Lions declined the penalty, so nothing really changed. So you know, it was 35 years old. The guy just, it, you know, we're not going to delve into
33.
We're not going to delve into the whole head.
Oh, just super sad. Just head, super
head
sad.
Thing and everything, but the guy just retired. So, you know, there's a lot of NFL.
Yeah, he had a seizure in the shower?
There's a whole rabbit hole.
Stay tuned on that. But there's more to come. You know, obviously, yeah, there's going to be a lot of those three nasty letters being floated around in CTE. So, look, to celebrate, he's a Super Bowl champion. Yeah. 10 years in the league, 63 touchdowns. You know, 9,700 plus yards. You know, 724 receptions was an unbelievable. You know, got bounced around in the last few, you know, two seasons or so. But you know,
I think he retired on his own terms too. He did.
Well, the New York Jets will make you do that.
This was like Denver did what they had to do to win this game, but their rushing was obviously really good in this game. Like they kind of have starting to get this little two-headed monster that happens in the Browns with Gordon. Like Gordon's just done a bit of a tangently comeback, and Javonte. Everybody tipped was going to be a great rookie running back, but Melvin, not that Melvin's letting it go, but I think he doesn't mind it. He enjoys it. He enjoys the tandem with it. He probably thinks he's Nick Chubb and Javonte's cream hunt.
I think this could be extremely successful for them going forward because you know we all know it. You know we all know what Dink and Dunk Bridgewater does. They don't really air out the ball a whole lot.
I just think they're really one quarterback away from contending. We all know
they thought that they were going to be getting in Teddy Bridgewater, and that hasn't seemed to come to fruition.
They've got and they've locked up great offensive weapons. Their defensive grade. They Pat Surtain seems to be a little bit of a revelation. We all question why they went for him, but he's been good.
He was the best. I think he was that's the problem that a lot of people see in it. It's he was the best available for their system. Do you know what I mean? Like it's not about Jamar Chase was still there or you know in the likes of that. But that's what I'm getting at.
They still had quarterbacks there. That's what I'm getting at. They still had quarterbacks.
That was the best pick for them.
I'm not disputing the pick. But I'm saying it would have been interesting if they took a Mac Jones or a Mac Jones or a Justin Fields. That'd be very interesting. A Mac Jones.
I'd scream the house down when they didn't take. You know, when they had the opportunity to take Justin Fields and they didn't.
System. No, I think Mac Jones in that system would have been perfect. I think personally.
Well, he's looking pretty good where he is now.
Well, of course he is. Yeah, of course. Yeah, well. Oh my God, the Pats. The Chargers beating the Giants 37-21. Justin Herbert is second year. He's now QB3 for the year. I think he's starting to be that shiny, and this is fine, I guess, you know, so it takes a shine off him, but he's starting to be that shiny new quarterback toy that Patrick Mahomes was. It just feels like it's coming across like that.
He's been a little bit of an enigma this year. Once he gets going, he looks like this.
Yeah.
No, that's right. He looks like this. I'd be a lot more concerned if I was a Charger fan on defensively for them. Letting the Giants score 21 points on you is unacceptable. Wow. Especially Mike Glennon. Not so much Daniel Jones. Mike freaking Glennon. That is unacceptable.
I think again he was out. Yeah, he was. Derwin James was again out. He is their corner. Their secondary basically, and he was out again in this game. And he too many. Well, it's like any team, but too many injuries. But you're right, 21 points with Mike Glennon.
But it just, I don't know what it is. It just seems like this year the injury toll for most teams is out of control.
Yeah, it is. And you think having the extra week and the extra week and the bye, during the year would technically help, but it hasn't. Yeah, no, especially the running back. The running back engine has been absolutely, if you've got a running back that's been healthy, good for you because...
No, that's right.
It's been tight. It's been...
Running back stakes have been decimated this year.
But Keenan Allen was out in this game too, so they...
No, that's right.
Jalen Gutton got... Yeah, no, he was good. He was... young guy good in this game.
He's become their big threat at the moment, Jalen Guyton.
Well, Mike Williams has sort of gone a little bit backwards, considering he had that... God, he had that hot start this year. What do we talk about with New York Giants? Like, we know they're out. Like, I'll put this question to you. We're not going to stay on them for long. Do they...
No, let's not.
Okay, it won't take long because you can just say yes or no then. Do they regret picking Saquon Barkley at number two?
Ooh. I mean, really? it's the same sort of situation as Christian McCaffrey, except it's getting a lot more fanfare and a lot more speculation because they took him at number two.
So that's right. So, okay. Okay, now I'll word it a different way then, because it's probably not Saquon's fault. Injuries just injuries. Do you take a running back in the top five anymore? It's probably the better question. Or top 10 even, but maybe you guys go top five.
Top five. You can take running backs in the top 10. You.
I don't think you take him in the top five, do you now? I think.
He was as a can't-miss prospect at running back as what there has been in the last few years. Like him at Penn State, he was unbelievable. No, you're right.
That's
State.
That's a thing.
It's the best. He was the best available.
Yeah.
And you I get it. It's the number two pick. Okay. I get it. But he had
You can't blame the Giants because he was a carbon prospect.
Look at his rookie season. He was unreal.
No, I know he was. I understand.
He made Eli Manning relevant.
I just true.
That's hard to do.
You don't overly hate Eli Manning, do you?
I just don't like the way that he played his last few seasons there, sort of, trying to grasp onto under some sort of former, hey, I'm a two-time fluky Super Bowl winner. Like, he's absolutely sort of writing off those two and his last name and his last couple of years as a Giant were just horrendous. But he made him relevant.
He was a calmest prospect. Injuries are just injuries, and that happens. I think taking a running back in the top five just doesn't. I don't think should exist anymore, personally.
Not that it shouldn't exist. It's like most things. Like it's you can take you a skilled
it's all,
person
it's all
high.
Hearsay. They should have taken this player. So it's all hearsay. No, that always happens in drafts.
Exactly.
I just don't know. Like you said, his rookie season was unbelievable.
Injuries happen to positions no more than the running back because they are just annihilated every single game.
The 49ers talk about running backs that are getting annihilated, but seem to keep stepping up. Beating the Bengals 26-23. The 49ers are rolling a little bit, really. I mean, they had to win this in OT, but, they're 7-6. That NFC West, except for Seattle, like you said, all three of those teams could make wild card. Or someone will win the division, but the other two could easily, well, will at least one of them will at least easily make a wild card. But so could the other team, because if the Niners are rolling.
Yeah, the Niners, their defense is playing a lot better.
Oh my God, their offense.
Jimmy G's doing what he yep. has to do. He's always done that in his whole career. Didn't get a lot. I don't think they got a lot of help on the ground. Which, you know, sort of that seems to be their MO as of late. You know, Jeff Wilson got enough out of him. You know, Jimmy G's got to throw the ball 41 times. That means they've come in with, a plan to sort of to get. Well, and when you've got George Kittle there, like what are you meant to do? You need to roll with it. 150 plus yards, 151 yards for George Kittle was massive. Jimmy G. doing what he has to do, not really airing the ball out as much. He spread the ball across the field, 20 plus yards at a time, for their sort of, I guess, their big plays in the way that they sort of do, the way that they go about their offense. That's the way that they're getting the job done as of late.
And next man up, like Debo's, maybe, you know, an instant little bit of a corner in the rushing game, because Ayuk's starting to...
That's just Kyle Shanahan.
Well, that is Kyle Shanahan. Ayuk's starting to find some form again, and goddamn Kittle. He took his time, but when he's healthy, he...
I mean, once again, it's real simple math. When Kittle's not there, they struggle offensively big time, but he is such a great safety valve for them, you know, in the pass game. And when Kittle's there, he's a monster. Jimmy G's got such a really good rapport and good chemistry with him. They get the job done. I absolutely thought that they weren't going to. Cincinnati have been, you know, sort of a little inconsistent. Like, you know, they're not great at home this year. San Francisco have been really good on the road and been poor at home. So, It sort of, you'd think it would have pointed to a 49ers win. Burrow was, you know, was really good. You know, he had plenty of deep shots down the field, you know, especially with Jamar Chase. But, you know, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd sort of got into this game a little bit, but scrambling for his life. Both quarterbacks got sacked five times. This was a really defensive, you know, hit out for both teams.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Ward Bosa was awesome in this game, obviously. Yeah.
And, you know, and Cincinnati's worst, you know, was the worst enemy. Yeah, Darius Phillips. Two drop punts, two turnovers.
Yeah.
You just can't give San Francisco time to rest their defense. And that's, I mean, Garoppolo does what he needs to do. That's cheap possession.
No, you're right. I mean,
that's cheap possession that they turned over twice by Darius Phillips.
We had Tyler Boyd end up having to come in and do the last one. Did you notice that?
They had no choice.
Oh, of course.
The second drop punt, like the first one, he sort of had to reach for a little bit. He got into a bad position to catch the punt. The second one was just a straight up drop, went straight through his arms, went behind him. And you see him afterwards, he was devastated. Like, he's just like, putting his hands on his helmet. Like, how have I done that again? And I've cost my team, you know, cheap yards again. I've done it again. Yeah. Had no choice but to turf him.
The next game, the Bucks beating the Bills in OT, 33-27.
Brady being Brady, the celebration.
Kind of is, isn't it?
Well, the celebration for him continues. He's gone past Drew Brees as the all-time completions leader. He's got the lowest sack percentage on dropbacks. He is sacked 2.7% of the time.
Yeah.
Which was the lowest in the league.
Yeah.
He gets the ball out quickly. It's what he's done his whole career, but he does have a pretty good offensive line up front as well, you know, to be able to still sling it down the field to, you know, to his weapons that and that which he which in Tampa are plentiful. The scary part of this was Buffalo, and I don't know if this couldn't have been a plan, did not hand the ball back to a running back once. The only person who had rushing yards in the first half for Buffalo was Josh Allen.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. They,
well,
they
is
were
it? Because
that
is it
so
but?
Bad
because
in the first half, Buffalo. And for them to be able to fight back into this game and force OT is you want to hope that they can continue that.
I don't. I'll put it this way. After watching them against the Pats last week and how their running back engine room, so to speak, didn't do anything, why not let Josh Allen hold it and run for 109 yards? Like, they, something is going on with Devin Singletary and Matt and Zach Moss, who I thought was, well, they were, they're still 23 and they were okay, but they just can't seem to have a running option, and Josh Allen can run the ball.
No,
so maybe,
but you can't go out, there and do that to, you know, to your MVP, your team.
No,
not hand the ball off once to a running back. That's not a game plan. And you see, you know, as the result, 3 points in the first half. They were awful.
Yeah. No, yeah, you're right. I mean, yeah. Oh, look, they were. I don't know what's going on. I think they're on a bit of a skid.
Man, Brady had more attempts than any running back. So Brady had 6 rush attempts in that game.
And we got a touchdown.
Yeah, that's right.
What the hell? Like, that guy... He's just, yeah, he's, yeah, and I just don't know. He's ageless. It's scary. It's, anyway, with Buffalo, like, they'll, should, going off their record, should get a wild card spot, but they're pretty touch and go, aren't they?
Oh, big time. Look, you know, we've said it throughout this year. They bully the bad teams. When they come up against good teams, they falter. And this second half of theirs was really good. Look, they limited, and to say that limited, but you know, they limited the Brady and the Bucks in that second half.
Yeah,
had a really good comeback. Yeah, 17 points scored, and that's in that fourth quarter. They the way that they sort of defend the explosive play is the best in the NFL. Yeah, they have only had a total of 26 plays put on their defense of more than 20 plus yards, which is the best in the league. That's the thing that sort of kept them in this game, and to be able to limit the explosive plays that are put out there by Tampa. And look, the overtime, like, did you even know that Breshad Perriman was on the Bucks? Because I didn't know that until this play in overtime.
No, I knew he was on there. I didn't know he was activated from the practice squad. That's all I didn't know.
But that's part of it. Is it doesn't matter who you are.
No, that's right.
Brady will make you a superstar, and that's what happened on that, you know, on that walk off touchdown in overtime to get him the W. He doesn't need to go, well, I'm going to go to my go to guy. Like, I'm going to get, like, he does go to Gronk a lot, but he doesn't need to go right. He doesn't need to telegraph that it's I'm going to go to Mike Evans. I'm going to go to Chris Godwin, who has been so good the last 3 weeks. He has been Brady's favorite target over the last, he had 10 catches in this game. It's that's the part of it is he just says, it doesn't matter who you are. All you've got to do is catch the ball for him. He will put it between your numbers, so it's the easiest ball to catch. That touchdown he threw to Mike Evans at the back of the end zone was only ever going to get caught by Mike Evans. That's just what Brady does.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what he does. Yeah. No, he does. It's exactly
it
what Brady
crazy.
Does.
Crazy. And that, yeah, I mean, that the for him to hit Breshad Perriman the way that he did, that was the only way he was going to catch the ball. He was the only one that was going to catch the ball and makes a heap of yards after the catch. Just an unbelievable way to finish off the game.
And only Brady. That's the thing. Like,
In such Brady fashion.
Yeah. Packers beating the Bears.
The only man who has been critical of that team is Bruce Arians, the coach.
Yeah, well, this is true. Yeah, no, that is true, actually. 45-30, big scoreline. The Packers beating the Bears.
No.
I don't know. It was for that scoreline. It was kind of hard to sort of. Well, I mean, at least for the Bears, their kicking did a lot of their points. I mean, I'm not going to lie about it. The kicking did a lot of their points. Really, at the end of the day, they only got a couple of decent touchdowns. But on the other side, Aaron Rodgers just used. Devontae Adams, 121 and 2 touchdowns, it's his go-to. It just shocks me that they're 10-3 with how literally terrible they played against your Saints in that first game. I don't know why it shocks me more, but it just does.
I don't know. That's so long ago, I never really knew what to think about that game.
Is it?
Anyway, that was just one of those games where it's just like, wow, we just got obliterated, whether it was a wake-up call. Yeah, obviously, because since then they've been 10-2. So,
But maybe it was just a complete wake-up call. But it's just,
said it that week one. They literally had no starters playing in that preseason. And they come out and they looked underdone. Simple as that.
Yeah, well, I mean,
the preseason. That's why I'm always an advocate of four preseason games, because you let your second, third, fourth guys on the roster take up a lot of the snaps in the first two games. When the third game comes around, then you start to integrate your starters, and then in the fourth game, you treat the fourth game as if it's a regular season game. Now, it is a regular season game.
Yeah,
and it actually has implications. Before, you could just go out. You can run your starters out there. You can. Do you know what I mean? Like it just. I'm always an advocate of as many preseason games as possible. Now, that fourth preseason game is no longer, and everybody complains about the start of the season. Oh, you know, bad football being played. What do you expect?
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean,
it's that's a fourth exactly preseason right. game. That's how it's been.
And they had to put one game on this. No, you're right. Did you like the way Fields was in this game? I mean, he threw two interceptions and got sacked twice, so it wasn't, overly. Yeah, that's what I sort of thought. I think they're
good good in the scramble. We all know that.
They're in a bit of a limbo as well. I think like their defense is still pretty good. I think it's clear that that franchise tag and Allen Robinson is completely gone. I think he'll move on next year, and that's what they probably need to look at, sort of the engine room in that receiving. Because I still think he's okay. David Montgomery, he's only 24 and he's still fine. I think him and Justin Fields, yeah, but at 24 he's okay, but. They need some receiving core, and it possibly I think because he keeps scrambling, an offensive line, or at least a bit better left or right tackle.
No, that's right. I think they can protect him a bit more, then they can use him in the same fashion as Lamar Jackson, as Josh Allen.
Comparison. Yeah, that's exactly. Right.
You can draw up run plays for him rather than him having to scramble for his life out of the pocket. And make yards in that sort of fashion. You need to be able to make him more of a run threat in a planned fashion, you know, in the scheme of things, rather than hoping that he can get you first downs and get you yards by getting out of the pocket and just using his instincts, which you can only ride that so far. The offensive explosion that happened in the second quarter was insane, and that was never going to keep up. But Chicago just totally faltered in the third and fourth quarters.
Yeah, they did. It's just true Chicago fashion, really.
No, exactly. And the shining light, I guess, not so much the shining light, but the big play was the Jakeem Grant, 97 punt return, yeah, 97-yard punt return for a touchdown, to sort of, yeah, to ignite the crowd there in Green Bay, which, you know, that is what it is. Like that was an awesome run, but for them to sort of not be able to ride that momentum wave that they had in the second quarter, and for them to just totally fall flat on their face, you know, in the second half, like you said, is just in true Bears fashion.
Bears fashion. Did you expect the Rams just to finish the last game off to beat the Cardinals?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. I don't think it's concerning because D-Hop looks like he'll be out for the rest of the season. I think he was injured in this game.
He's done for the rest of the regular season by the looks of it.
As serviceable as AJ Green is, he's on a wide receiver one.
No, he's not, but he's a nice replacement.
He's a nice replacement, and so is James Conner. And, you know, we were messaging about this, like,
James Conner for MVP.
The dude's a bit of a hybrid. Well, the dude's a bit of a hybrid, like, you know.
He's been the surprise of the season.
I think he's been probably in the free agency signing of the season.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
I can't think of anybody else. Well, no, sorry, probably Judon. Judon's probably the other one. But still.
Yeah, oh, I mean, yeah. Yeah.
Still.
But, you know, James Conner will get more of the fanfare just simply because, you know, that he's an offensive player and then the way that he's just putting up the ungaudy numbers, scoring touchdowns and being a real linchpin for that Arizona offense.
Yeah, yeah. I honestly think there's a big reason why they were 10-3 at the time. I think he is a big reason for that. Consider, you know, yeah, well, he is. I kind of get why Pittsburgh let him go. Like, if they were going to always take Najee, that's a shrewd pickup. Well, if they were taking Najee, it's a shrewd pickup. I know they
need a lot more. Yeah, but you could try and get some sort of value back for James Conner.
Well, that's what, you know.
Just let him walk.
They're another team that I thought they could have. I thought they were like your Saints. I thought they were a team that could have pushed up in draft if they had the capital enough to look at a Mac Jones or a Justin Fields or someone like that. But obviously that didn't happen. Look, Stafford was. We didn't throw an interception. He was serviceable in that game. I'm still not overly convinced. As great as 9-4 is, I'm still not overly convinced that they're a contender, and it's probably obviously going to get worse.
I think this will catapult them back into that conversation again. Like, this is a big win for them on the road.
It's a big win, but I mean, I know we're tripping on some news, but you know, they're one of the teams that are decimated in COVID protocols, so it's hard to say.
Well, and even in this game, that they'd lost Darrell Henderson, who's been really good for them. They had to rely on Sony Michel.
Yeah, Sony Michel. Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. Yeah, yeah. They also relied They also relied on, obviously, their gun, Cooper Kupp. And yeah, talking about a pickup who's, you know, Odell Beckham Jr. You have to say it. You have to. Don't you?
If he can get used in the capacity that he wants to get used in, and do you know what I mean? Like, he's of course he's a weapon. He's...
Well, that's what I mean. Like, I know people wrote him off, but you can't go. I don't know, completely write him off. That's all I'm getting at. You couldn't.
No, you can't. Now that he's going to be incorporated a little bit more. Now that Robert Woods is gone, like otherwise he was absolutely third and fourth on the depth chart.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, yeah. No, it's just a circumstance of Robert Woods. Yeah, was injured. So
it's not the fact that you write him off. It's the fact that. Can he accept his role as a secondary player? He needs to put the ego in the pocket. He's clearly ring chasing here. He was either going to get picked up by the Green Bay Packers, which he knocked back because they didn't offer him enough money. He's gone to the LA Rams. He needs to put the ego in the pocket and accept his role as a secondary receiver. And if he can do that, then he will be an asset to the team. If he can't do that and not get the F over himself, then he's a detriment to the team.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Good win for the Rams. They needed that, especially a divisional game. That's
400 fine. Yards thrown by Kyler Murray, though. Like,
yeah. Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, and he shared it around. Shared it once D-Hop went down. He shared the wealth around again. Like Connor was great. AJ Green was great. Christian Kirk, who I always liked, but maybe he needs to be utilized a bit more. But yeah, he got nearly 100 yards himself as well. Studs of the week. I don't know about you, but my stud of the week was George Kittle. I think, the last week, the game week before, probably could have gave it to him too. But this week was just another 150 yard game. He's going to be a big reason why they're going to push the team that we just mentioned, LA Rams, into this sort of that wild card, or at least scare a lot of teams. He will.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, look, like he's been massive since he's come back, and no more important person, you know, I guess, in that offense for San Francisco than George Kittle. For me, start of the week goes to Lee. I said it before, the man that re-announced himself, you know, as a defensive monster, and that's Aaron Donald. He was massive, in that game before. The first play from scrimmage that Arizona had was a sack on Kyler Murray. The last play of the game was Aaron Donald sacking Kyler Murray. Like, you know, those two are, you know, sort of, you know, incidental, but he was massive in this game in disrupting a lot of what Arizona was trying to do. And even though you flush Murray out of the pocket, and that's, you want to do that against certain quarterbacks, he's probably not one of them. But the fact that he can still run him down, he hit him three times, that he can still catch a man who was a whole lot smaller than what he is, elusive, is a testament to what he does.
That's an Aaron Donald to me. That's just everyone forgetting what Aaron Donald does, and myself included, and him showing I'm still Aaron Donald. Don't forget me.
Well, it's just a matter of if they sort of can't get themselves happening offensively, which has been a bit of a problem with the Rams in the last month or so, that both sides of the ball, they haven't been as impressive as what they could be. You know, if they can get one side of the ball back on track, then they'll start to win games again. And this week, I thought Aaron Donald really pushed that.
Your dud of the week?
Let's sort of circle all the way back to the Las Vegas Raiders. Why, oh, why do you want to poke the bear and do a little team meeting and a little happy dance or whatever the F they did on the Kansas City? Why do people and teams do this stupid crap? What is the fascination of disrespecting the home team's logo in the middle of their field? Like what? I don't know what that is.
And then you
go out there and you get demolished.
What I read, it's supposed to, and I don't see this at all, but it's supposed to put the other team off, like mind games and everything. But for me, I think it just stir the other team on.
If you're so fickle in a mindset that the other team going out there and stomping on your label, you know, on your logo in the middle of the field, like that throws you off your game. Get out of here.
My is the calamity, and we're going to tie it into the next bit of news, but the calamity of the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's the zip. What I find funny, and we'll talk about Urban Meyer in a second, but they can get a very up-and-coming and a very – they can do very, very well on an up-and-coming starting project like they're All Elite Wrestling, AEW. They've done it phenomenally well. But when it comes to the NFL, they...
Not so much?
Have no... Well, I mean, we don't need to go into that, but they're breaking records. They're signing $100 million TV rights for something they started up. But when it comes to the NFL, they just cannot get it right. And that's the start of the coach.
The signing of Urban Meyer was a little questionable, but apparently when they had all the interviews and everything with him, like Chad Khan just totally fell in love with him.
Yeah, straight away. And there was other options, and it was basically saying, yeah, but they're not Urban Meyer. You're right. You're exactly right. I
Look, I don't know.
I think it was the point too of you know, this could be the best thing for, you know, for Trevor Lawrence as well, is, you know, to have a college type coaching system that he could feel very comfortable in. And the NFL is just a totally
interesting
different
beast. And that was the whole point. You know, that was one of his reasons to sign, Urban Meyer to sign. So yeah, obviously
that's right.
We're saying,
that's right. He knew he was getting Trevor Lawrence to try and mold.
He's been fired after like less than 14 weeks in the NFL. He's only got 1-2 wins total in the NFL. The reason it's funny you say about he's, you know, as a college quarterback trying to mold, as a college coach trying to mold a quarterback. The question I posed to you before, and I messaged you, is he the worst NFL coach of all time, or one of the? He's one of the worst, but is he the worst?
Not one of the worst NFL coaches of all time. I think this is one of the poorest choices of a college coach to be coming up into the professional ranks, and just a gigantic flop.
I may disagree, because I did a bit of research, and there was a name that kept on thinking, who's that person? And the one that stood out to me, and I'm glad I did research, was, do you remember Bobby Petrino?
Yep.
Same guy, same reason, same thing. Came from Auburn and Louisville as a quarterback coach, and was signed to the Atlanta Falcons purely to mold one Michael Vick, which is a blast from the past, just to throw that name out there. If anyone knows Michael Vick, once you say Michael Vick, the first thing.
Lamar Jackson. Kyler Murray before Kyler Murray.
But it's also, and as great as Michael Vick was, then, you know, the downhill of this whole, you know, dog.
Oof.
Well, and so this is...
He went off the rails a bit, didn't he?
Well, he went off the rails. So this was the whole thing. So, you know, Bobby Petrino was signed to a 5-year, $24 million contract to the Falcons, brought in to develop Michael Vick into more of a complete quarterback, I suppose because he was more of a run game kind of quarterback, and developing more into a sort of pocket passer. But before Petrino's first training camp, it emerged that Vick had bankrolled an illegal dogfighting operation. That sort of went skew. If the funny thing was, is he said to Arthur Blank, that he was going to stay, literally stay, but 24 hours later had already signed a deal with Arkansas as the head coach for college. 24 hours later, he didn't even last a year. He still had more games than Urban Meyer, but
yeah,
it's just, you know, it's more the thing that's more the story down, and that's for everybody, is that it's not so much the Michael Vick stuff that he promised, like, and it all come out, and even the owner said that he promised he was staying there, and he signed another deal while he's still under contract. So, and then he's oh my god, this is so much on this guy. He's had like neck braces because he just. Yeah, he's a weird person.
Oh yeah, no, he's got a touch of the theatrical, that's for sure.
But that, you know, tying in the news, just Jacksonville. I mean, hopefully they've got an interim coach. Hopefully they need. I don't know where they're going to go. I don't think they go for a first year coach for next year. I think they go for short term stability, and I don't know what that's going to be. And I'm sure there's a hard nosed coach out there. Hard-nosed coach
they'd have to sort of start looking around the lower ranks, I guess, of, you know, the offensive or defensive coordinators around the league, whether or not they offer Darrell Bevell, the offensive coordinator there at Jacksonville, the job full-time.
Eric Bieniemy from the Chiefs, he'll absolutely be tossed around,
you know, in that sort of regard.
You probably need a hard nose one. There's names thrown around, but you probably need a hard nose, someone that's already done the job, and just go, yeah, like this is it.
Like you said, short-term stability, I think, is what they need there at this point in time. And a proven commodity. I think that's more important, a proven commodity.
Exactly. The other bit of news, I mean, we've sort of touched on it during this, is the amount of COVID players that seem to be piling up in the NFL and the NBA.
And the NBA as well. The NBA's got 68 players or something like that are on the COVID list at the moment.
Yeah.
Look, I'm just struggling to find a reason why now this total and utter explosion, and there's no other word that describes this, just a total and utter explosion from after Sunday's and Monday's slate of games. Reports started coming out. L.A., Cleveland, Baltimore, like just teams just being absolutely decimated by COVID. Yep. The Rams at the moment looks like they've got up to like 25 cases. Like, what the hell?
Which is a classic L.A. Hotspot that happened last time. But the thing is...
Well, that's right. California. It's apparently,
this new strain and everything like that. We're not going to delve. We don't need to delve in all that crap. But they, it's not the fact of the people that aren't catching it, that they're testing positive, but it's the fact that they actually are fine. Like they're not sick. They're not like they can actually run around and all that. But because
it's asymptomatic, but.
It's not the owners. So it's not the owners. It's the players' association said, well, these protocols are in place. You've got to get tested every day. And we want the players to be completely right. Where the owners, and no player will come out and say this, but the owners, want them to sort of change the NFL protocol, rule, because these players are technically fine to play. But no player is going to go against the players' association and say, I might have COVID, but I actually feel fine. They're not going to say that. That's not going to happen.
No, that's right. It's the big bad nasty COVID-19 like you said, you don't want to get into it, but it's the fact of the way that they go about things of with vaccinations and everything of that. The vaccine, by the sounds of it, is doing what they want it to do. It's lessening symptoms, so people don't realize they have it.
Exactly right. So,
and if you don't feel under the weather, then of course you're going to go out and do your normal things and be social and go to practice and things like that. Like it's to the vaccine's detriment that it's doing that, because people don't realize that they're sick.
The only the NFL's the NFL. They're not stopping. They won't stop. The only way this would ever change is like you said, the Players Association, decide to ease a little bit of their daily testing and protocols. It probably won't happen.
It's going to happen more so now because they want to know the NBA.
It'll be a standoff. It'll just be a standoff. I don't know.
Testing now is going to go through the roof, because now all of a sudden we've had this massive explosion and the league and owners and the powers that be will want to know why now. Yeah. And it would be different if it was not so much an isolated incident, but it was only contained to say one league, but it's the NBA has had it as well. And the NBA is just getting hammered.
It's the same thing.
The Players Association is coming out. They're wanting more testing.
We'll put an NBA pod up. We'll look at doing one soon and put one up. But to me, the thing I was going to bring up is because they're traveling more, I think it's going to get to a point with, at least with the NBA, that they're probably going to do what they did last year and cut back some games. I think they have to, because they're adaptable enough that they can do that.
That's going to open up a big can of worms with broadcasters.
Okay, but this is also...
Especially if you do it off the cuff and go, hey, guess what? We're just going to cancel
that. I understand that, but, broadcasters.
ESPN, TNT, all the ABC, all those broadcasters are going to be out there. They're going to be like, where's our compensation?
No, I get that. But what I'm getting at is the biggest day of the year, the Christmas Day games, could have hardly any stars. What are they going to do then? That's what I'm getting at. Like,
I don't think they'd have to worry too much about Christmas games because
and LeBron James gets COVID, and then are playing in that Christmas.
No, that's right. It's when the stars start to get it. Not so much when the stars start to get it. It's when the all stars and the superstars start to get it.
Correct. Once one of them get it, then it's gonna be okay. We've got a problem here. So, NFL won't stop. You know, there's. It just won't stop. There's four more.
That's right. This is an iceberg is in the way, and this is going to change history because the Titanic is just going to blast straight through it.
Oh, of course.
It's not.
Or it it's going to somehow turn on a dime. It's going to turn on a dime.
The NFL is not going to turn and try and get around it. They're just going to blast straight through it.
Well, that's probably how good the words blast.
It's just gonna hammer. They proved that last year.
You're right.
Not so much like you said. Like the NBA is adaptable because you can sort of shift games and you can make up games. The just NFL can't make up games later in the season. They have to just push them back. No, that's right. But they have to just push them back later on in the week and just have the schedule. Be a little bit more adaptable. So
we're in week 15. They can't. They got three more rounds. They can't. It's not going to happen. We all know that. So
no, it's right. They can't. They can't cancel games. It's just not going to happen. Because that has even more broadcast ramifications than what the NBA does.
Way more. Huge money. Like that's ridiculous money. Broadcasting more. So
especially for the NFL.
Yeah. Well. And that's what they're built around. So right. That is it for the NFL pod. As always, our socials are Twitter. Our personal socials are Twitter at Final Play Pod, and Facebook is Final Play Podcast, where you'll get our links to our podcast. They're our personal ones. Our fans, our favorites out there, obviously gimco.com.au or Eureka Sports, our favorites. Yeah, love them.
Of course they're our favorites.
having our pods on there is always great, so.
No, it's great. It's another platform. It's terrific. You know, it's about, you know, getting into a local market rather than, you know, we've got our regular listeners on there, so you know that's always appreciated. And we always appreciate the love that they give us from there. So, shout out to those guys as per always. We're in the community tab on gimco.com.au, so you know you can listen to us straight off the website there, or you can download it and listen to it whenever you like. Spotify, same deal. Spotify, SoundCloud. Check us out. Give us a follow. Give us a like. So, there's always the chance for interaction on the Facebook page as well, which is the best place for interaction. And we always try and put out, the big news and talking points on a lot of sports. So we like to sort of throw that out there for you guys to sort of interact with us. And we always do our best to try and do that.
Wow. My name is Jason Blast Smith. I love the blast. There's blast through that iceberg.
No, yeah, that's right. I'm Miles Titanic Plum. That's what the NFL is. Like, you know, they're not gonna sink in the middle of the Atlantic though. That's the thing.
And even if they do, they don't care. Literally, I'm not gonna. No, I shouldn't say that. I was going to make a Leonardo DiCaprio / Tom Brady joke, but it's probably a little bit below the belt. So,
Tom Brady's aging better than what Leo is.
No, I think they're about the same, honestly. Tom Brady is just
avocado ice cream for all.
It's It is absolutely like him and LeBron. I'll say that both of them, him and LeBron. And this is what I can't wait to talk about in the NBA, but him and LeBron, and I'm tying Tom Brady in the NBA pod, him and LeBron know what to do to treat, to get their bodies in shape. And they do it because they want to win. But there's certain players, and we'll talk about in the NBA, that need to take a page.
It's that unbelievable drive. Like, that's the thing. It's the unbelievable drive. And look, both of them need their oil of Olay, their daily oil of Olay. And, you know, Brady has got multiple bottles of oil of Olay, you know, at Tampa, you know, in the weapons that he's got.
That's what I'm saying.
And LeBron's got Anthony Davis.
But they were also, yeah, maybe. We'll talk about that later. But
no, that's right.
But I'm saying that after 19 plus years for both of them, they know what to do to win. And win means to do this stuff to your body and go to bed early and all that. There's certain players, and I can't wait to talk about the NBA, that don't do that at the moment, and they're too young.
The level of play that they have sustained for so long is just is unbelievable.
Unbelievable, it is.
That's the thing. It's not so much the long. It's not the longevity. It's the sustained level of greatness.
The sustained greatness.
It's unbelievable.
It is.
And while yes, it is starting to become diminished a little bit. When push comes to shove and crunch time is there, they're as reliable as what you can get.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they are. All right. Well, have a good week, everyone.
All right. See you.